Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode number 65. Today we have a very special guest, and we're going to talk about something we have yet to talk about on Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. We're actually going to dive into the world of sales. Now, this is not one of those crazy, nebulous, terrifying things that we're going to talk about. This is after your marketing works. Guess what? You have to use sales skills. Today's podcast is called The Mindset of a Sales Champion, and our special guest is somebody who reached out using some of these wonderful skills. His name is Eric Lofholm. Now, he is the president of Eric Lofholm International. He is a sales expert, a keynote speaker, and a published author of multiple books, which I'm hoping we have a chance to talk about. So, Eric, welcome to the show.
I'm excited to be here.
Now, The Mindset of a Sales Champion. We have had other guests on our podcast just to talk about mindset in general. Tell me what, in our listeners, what that means to you.
Well, in our culture, there is a stigma to sales. And I've asked this question of audiences all over the world. What do you think of when you think of a salesperson? And the answers I get are arm twisting, high pressure, manipulation, selfish, used car sales, etc. And so for an advisor, some people that are listening right now, they may have resistance to sales, and here you need to go out and deliver an effective presentation to persuade folks, move them to action, help them make great financial decisions. And if you have resistance to selling, that can be standing in the way of you doubling your income or more. And so I love helping people, giving them alternative ways of thinking about sales to help them let go of resistance and embrace sales.
Most people are their own worst enemies with sales. They have their own hangups, just like you just said, you know, the used car salesman smoking a cigarette, wearing white patent leather shoes, saying, "What can I do to get you in this car today?" That's not what you're talking about. You actually talk about it from a very different angle. So enlighten us on some of the things that you talk about to help people change their mindset surrounding sales.
Well, I like to take one of Napoleon Hill from Think and Grow Rich. One of his distinctions is auto-suggestion. And it's where you say something to yourself over and over and over and over and over again. The law of belief is whatever you tell yourself over and over again, you'll eventually believe. So the series of affirmations that I teach is selling equals service, sell from honesty, integrity, and compassion. Selling is about leading. Selling is about moving people to action. And I would advise any of you listening right now to say that series of affirmations 10 times a day out loud or to yourself. Change begins in language. So we change the way that we think about sales. We go into a space of serving, but it's serving with leading, all right? We need to lead and guide this prospect to action because as an advisor, you're the expert, all right? The person you're selling to, they're the expert at whatever they're great at. You are the expert. You've gotten the certifications and you've done the licensing and you've done the studying and you've been on podcasts like this to learn how to really help somebody. You have all this experience. And so it's about giving yourself permission to step into your power and then effectively lead and guide somebody to action.
We've talked about neuro-linguistic programming on this show a number of times, and that might seem strange from a marketing podcast. But Eric, you just said the key of neuro-linguistic programming, or if you've ever listened to Napoleon Hill, Tony Robbins, a lot of Dan Sullivan's coaching stuff. If you've ever had a real, true, highly trained life coach, they're going to say the same things, that these positive affirmations, because what's happening is it doesn't necessarily happen externally like what you're asking them to do. It happens internally. Oh, I hate selling people. Oh, I don't want to close these people. It's that tape that's playing inside of your brain. Now, do you believe that these external affirmations can help change that mindset?
Well, it can. And here's an example of why this conversation is important. So I recruited this gentleman the other day, and his name is Andy. And Andy left a company he had been at for 12 years. Andy has five children, and he's married. So I'm recruiting him, and he's talking to his wife, and he's like, honey, I want to go work for Eric Offham. And she's like, never heard of me. Who's Eric? And Andy's telling her. And look at it from his wife's perspective, okay? He's got this steady job for 12 years. They have five kids. Starting a new job in a different industry. And so Andy says to me right before he accepts coming on board me, he goes, Eric, tell me, am I making the right decision to come work for you? Mm-hmm. Now, whatever I say at that point is going to determine what Andy does. Because if I tell him, you know what, nah, this isn't the right thing for you. Well, when it comes to you're helping somebody with their finances and you're going to make a recommendation and you're going to ask them to move $1 million from, you know, one strategy and put it over somewhere else in this other strategy, and they're going to ask you what to do, you've got to step powerfully into guiding and leading them. And if you have resistance to sales, there is a very strong possibility you are not going to show up powerful in that conversation. Mm-hmm. I used to work for Tony Robbins years ago, and he taught me that when two people meet, the person that is the most certain will almost always influence the other person. Mm-hmm. And so when we learn that selling is just a skill set, just like learning how to help people with their finances, that's a skill set. Marketing is a skill set. Bookkeeping is a skill set. Well, sales is a learnable skill set. Anybody can learn it with proper training. And what we're talking about here, if you have resistance to sales and you embrace what I'm teaching you, this is transformational, mm-hmm. and it's a game changer for you.
Well, we love anything that's transformational. And I didn't know. I guess I didn't see on your LinkedIn profile that you had worked for Tony. Maybe I didn't scroll down far enough. I was so amazed by what your initial LinkedIn stuff says. You know, actually, I want to pause for a minute. Go find Eric. So it's Eric, Lofhome. Okay, is his name. So find
him. The home is the pronunciation. So it's Lofholm is the spelling.
Oh, no. I wrote it down phonetically. I'm sorry, man. So thank you for that correction. So find him on LinkedIn and take a look at how his profile is set up. His profile is set up to draw your eyes exactly to where he wants your eyes to be drawn and to communicate what he's already communicating. There's a lot of different ways to do this, everybody. It's not just from talking. It's not just from learning. And we're going to jump into some storytelling stuff here in just a minute. But it's not just what you do verbally. It's also what you do in your material. So with that, so Eric, what sort of stuff do you teach salespeople about their written kind of communication too, or do you just focus on the verbal?
Well, nowadays, we all have a digital footprint. And when I got started 19 years ago, I would have a website as a business owner. But most people in the world did not have a digital footprint. Now my 12-year-old daughter has a digital footprint. So what does that mean? If somebody's considering doing business with us, they are likely going to check us out online. So what you look like on Facebook, YouTube if you have a YouTube channel, LinkedIn, Instagram, wherever you're at online, when people Google you, what shows up is critical. Because people are making decisions about whether they want to engage with you or not. So you had just indicated, and I didn't know this. I didn't know that you've been on my LinkedIn. And so what you're communicating is, hey, I was on your LinkedIn, Eric, and this motivated me, caused me to want to engage with you further. So the written word, the video, the images on social media, these are all very, very important things for us nowadays.
That sort of digital footprint, that sort of how you're putting yourself out there, I mean, we have talked at great length on our podcast about that social media footprint. Are there key words? So let's get granular on this, Eric. So are there key words that you recommend to help people lubricate the sales process to make it easier for people to say yes?
I think of it a little bit differently than keywords. What comes to mind for me is the idea of sequencing. And this is something that I personally focus on, something that I teach. Sequencing has to do with the order of the communication, the order of your presentation. So when I go into a sales presentation, like I'm delivering a webinar a little bit later on today, and on that webinar, I will know every key point that I'm going to cover. I will know what order they're going to go in, and I will also know exactly how I'm going to close that particular webinar as far as the next step that I want them to take. And what a lot of people do that have resistance to sales is they don't want to sound salesy, you know, quote unquote salesy. I don't want to be salesy. So if you resist sales and then your mindset is, I don't want to be salesy, what you're often left with is winging it. Sure. So you go into the presentation and you wing it. And from my view, I mean, that's one of the worst things that you could do if you want to earn somebody's business. So we want to go in powerful, well-prepared, confident. We want to know the sequencing. We want to know how we're going to guide them. You know, all these things, part of it's mindset, part of it's strategy. And it's important because when you do this, you're going to convey confidence in your presentation, and that is going to draw people to want to do business with you.
I love sequencing. We've talked about sequencing on the program before. We refer to it as a nurture sequence, but you're taking it even to a much, much stronger, more powerful level, which is when you're sitting in front of somebody, when you're doing that presentation, when you've got that client who is just on the precipice of becoming an actual client, a prospect to a client situation, she having that confidence. And you know what, Eric, that's really funny. Because the confidence factor is what I've seen in the financial advisors that I've worked with over the years is they just don't have a lot of confidence in that. You know, they generally started selling life insurance. That's how they got into the business. You know, they were basically told some really horrible sales closing techniques, memorize these scripts, they work, do 100 calls a day, that sort of stuff. And you have some resources before we get too far into the podcast. SalesTipsForSmartPeople.com, everybody. I want you to write that down. SalesTipsForSmartPeople.com. Every day, our guest, Eric, does a 15-minute free mindset video. And then he posts it everywhere. Every day, you can wake up to the energy that you're already hearing from Eric and get in the right mindset, especially if you have a big appointment. Now, Eric, well, we've talked to some of the other guests that we've had on the show who are very focused on mindset. They talk about visualizing the close or making sure that they have some sort of a ritual before they go into what they would refer to the big game or as a, you know, closing a large prospect. What sort of stuff do you have for people?
Well, I think what you just said is great. And I like to be very specific around it so I can bring willpower into the sales presentation. Now, I cannot make somebody buy from me, but I can exert my will on the presentation. And here's what I mean by that. If you are watching a sporting event, there's 2 minutes to go in the basketball game, and the one team's down by 9 points, and you know essentially the game's over, and the team that's down by 9 points goes on this 10-0 run, and they win the game by one. It's like, how does that happen? They exerted their will on the situation. They had clarity. They wanted to win. They went all in. And you see this happen in sports all the time. Well, I figured out you can exert your will on a sales presentation. And the way that you do it, it's out of your own clarity. So using life insurance as an example, let's say somebody was wanting to sell a whole life policy. They've done the analysis on the prospect. They've determined that, you know, it's a $500 a month solution. And if that's me, I'm going to go into that presentation crystal clear on what I'm going to recommend at the end of the presentation. My goal is for them to buy, or at least at that point, like they'd probably get the health exam. So it would be to get their commitment that they would do the health exam. And I'm going to reverse engineer my presentation. It's going to be a benefit-driven presentation to show the prospect based on what you told me when I asked you all the probing questions in previous appointments, what you told me, this is the right recommendation, and I'm going to justify it with benefits based on what their goals are. And I'm going to go in and be powerful and confident and guide the prospect to buy from me. And if I was selling life insurance, I'd have a very high success rate out of that level of preparation.
And most of them are flying by the seat of their pants, just like you said. Well, I've done this so many different times, you know, I can do this in my sleep. No, that's where the problems lie. That mental preparation, I liken it back to Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan used to take thousands of free throws. The guy was the greatest. And some people are saying there's other people who are the greatest. Now, I'm not going to get into that philosophical debate with anybody, but the fact that even though he was an absolute expert at basketball, he still practiced every day. And what I'm hearing from Eric is you need to do the same thing, whether it's with the affirmations or the 15-minute everyday thing, or just the reverse engineering of the expected close or the expected result that you want. All of those are practice. And I think a lot of advisors get very lazy in their sales process. And what I'm hearing from you is it's almost like the you know, iron sharpening iron. You really do need to spend some time with that.
Well, here's the thing, and it lazy, but maybe here's another perspective. Maybe they've never been taught what proper preparation looks like.
Yeah.
And you bring up Michael Jordan and Steph Curry now that, you know, he's one of the top players in the NBA currently. Steph Curry has a pregame routine that is more in depth than just about any other player in the NBA. Now, here's a two-time MVP, yet when he goes to play tonight, he's going to have a routine down that he does in pregame more in depth than just about any other player. I have two sales presentations today, and I will spend at least 20 minutes between now and when I deliver these presentations going through my sequencing, getting clear on the key benefits, and I prep for virtually every presentation. So at my level, okay, I'm the teacher of this stuff, and yet I'm still prepping every single presentation. And so that might just be a different way of thinking.
Sure.
For some of you. And, you know, you look at some of these opportunities, you might make $20,000 on a yes. Well, here's the question. Is your preparation $20,000 prep?
Yeah.
Because it might not be. And that little conversation we just had here may create a paradigm shift in your thinking about how you approach preparation moving forward. That one thought could mean hundreds of thousands of dollars in increased commissions for you.
Absolutely. Let's talk about storytelling. So as we were preparing for this, I'm sure there are many of you out there who remember a guy named Mitch Anthony, who was he's still very involved in financial services, but in like the early 2000s, he was humongous, like speaking at every single solitary conference. He was one of the hottest tickets around. And he wrote a book called Story Selling. And so what Eric's going to talk about here is right in line with a lot of the industry experts that we're all working with on a regular basis. So Eric, talk to us about how you incorporate storytelling into the sales process.
Well, when I started selling, I was terrible at it. At the end of my first year, I was the bottom producer, and I had missed quota 2 months in a row. And I was introduced to a gentleman named Dr. Donald Moyne, who's a sales trainer. And you had mentioned NLP previous in our interview. Well, Dr. Moyne was a student with Richard Bandler at UC Santa Cruz. Now, Richard Bandler, John Grinder, co-founders of NLP.
Absolutely.
And Dr. Moyne came up in that movement, and he applied NLP to selling and wrote a PhD dissertation on what separates sales superstars from average salespeople. So he approached it from a scientific standpoint with NLP strategies. And I'm sharing this with you because he taught me about 20 years ago, Eric, before you go in and deliver your presentation, figure out the success stories you're going to tell in the order that you're going to tell them in. And I started doing that 20 years ago. I've been doing it for the last 20 years. In my two presentations I'll be delivering today, I'll probably tell two or three success stories strategically in those presentations. So if you want to drive home a benefit or overcome an objection, tell a story in the body of your presentation of somebody similar to the person that you're selling to that had this concern, that wanted these benefits, and ended up buying a similar solution to what you're recommending at the end. And this is one of the most powerful ways you can influence somebody. And what you do is you come up with about seven stories. And you can tell the same stories over and over and over again. And that one insight could be huge, huge for you guys listening.
I have a number of speeches, and I've done speaking, not to the level that you have, but I've done speaking, and I have five stories. It doesn't matter what the situation is. One of those stories is applicable, and I can tailor those stories to the specific sales situation, and it will allow for a much higher closing rate. But I'm going to really put you on the spot here, because you used a word that is like the dirty, nebulous, terrible, evil word, which is objections. As a sales expert, what do objections mean to you? First question. Second question, what do you teach people about objections?
Well, objections is just part of communication. let's start off the initial communication you have with somebody else. And you want to book an appointment with them. And ultimately, you want to talk to them about becoming their advisor. Well, the people you're prospecting, if they already have money, they probably already have an advisor. So there's objection number one before you even get your foot in the door. Well, I already have an advisor. And so that's a very normal thing. You're offering them a life insurance solution, and they might say, well, I don't believe in life insurance. Well, how do you sell life insurance to somebody that says, I don't believe in life insurance? Well, you have to change their perspective. You have to offer them an alternate way of thinking. And so the way that we handle objections, number one, we know they're coming. Number two, we already know what they're going to say because there's only 7 to 12 common objections. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I need to think about it. I already have an advisor. I don't believe in life insurance. I don't believe in whatever solution you're recommending. So we know what they're going to say. So what we want to do is we want to prepare. And just a simple way to do it is talk to your colleagues in the industry and ask them. When the person says they already have an advisor, how do you handle that? When the person says that, you know, they don't believe in annuities, how do you handle that? And you can just start collecting the best responses, get your best responses and get their best responses. And then there's a book out called The Feldman Method by Andrew Thompson. It was a book about Ben Feldman, who was the number one life insurance salesman in the world when he was alive. And a lot of his scripts are right in the book, exactly what the number one life insurance guy said. So objections is a normal, natural part of communication. And the solution is preparation. And that's my best answer to that.
Well, that was a heck of an answer, man. That was, and in fact, I just wrote down the Feldman method. I haven't heard of that. So I'm really excited. I'm a real nerd about language. That to me is just incredibly powerful. Okay. So you've given us some really good nuggets. I love the idea of a mindset. I love, you know, having some stories. I love your perspective on objections. What else am I missing? What question am I not asking you that I should be?
Well, one of the things that we talked about before we did our interview today was around prospecting outreach. And, you know, the catalyst to getting more clients is reaching out to more people. When I launched my sales training company in 1999, I was 28 years old. Nobody had ever heard of me. And I've built my business into a global training company. And it's like, well, Eric, how did you do that? It really came down to prospecting outreach. I was willing and continue to be willing to reach out to people on a daily basis to start a conversation about the possibility of us doing business together. And this is one of the biggest struggles that so many people have. And if you just reach out to more people based on law of averages, you're going to grow your business. And so one of the things that I do is I make prospecting a game. And right now I'm playing a game. It's a 100-day run to reach out to 2,500 people over 100 days. That's an average of 25 people per day. And I might hit the goal, I might not. But the fact that that's my intention and the fact that I'm playing a game, and it's one of the ways that we can motivate ourselves, is you gamify your life. You gamify your practice, and you can do this with prospecting.
Gamification is awesome. Awesome. So now hold on. What's your reward? So if you do hit that, what are you doing for yourself?
You know, I don't really think of it like that. And that's a great thing, you know, for those of you that are motivated by, hey, I'm going to go get myself a new suit, or I'm going to go out to a nice meal, or I'm going to take a vacation, or whatever the case may be. For me, it's more about playing the game. And one of the things that I found was when I play a prospecting game, a prospecting outreach game, I'm no longer focused on the yes. I'm focused on the prospecting outreach. And I'll never forget prospecting Luz Dahlia Gerber. That's Michael Gerber's wife of E-Myth fame. And I wanted to do some business with them. And it was a Friday afternoon. And I think I was trying to do 10 touches for the day. And I hadn't hit my number. And so I said, okay, I got to hit my number. I'm going to reach out to Luz Dahlia Gerber with a direct message over Facebook. And you think, that's not going to work. But I'm just trying to hit my number because I'm playing the game. So I sent her the message and she responded. And that prospecting outreach turned into joint webinar with Michael Gerber. He came and spoke at my event and I was able to secure an endorsement from him that I'm able to use in my marketing. And the catalyst was a direct message over Facebook. Hmm. The motivation was for me to hit my numbers for the day.
There are a lot of sales tracking activity sort of sheets. Do you have any of those or anything like that on the salestipsforsmartpeople.com?
You know, that's a great question. And here's how simple I am. Get out an index card and do tick marks.
Yeah.
That's what I do. So there's all these great software tools. And, you know, our brains think in different ways. And mm-hmm. some of you that are listening right now, you're wonderful with software tools. And you would want to track it in that way. I'm, even though I have a database and I keep all of my records in my database, I'm much more of an index card, write it down, handwritten notes than I am entering notes into a CRM. I'm not advising that. What I'm advising is however your brain works. Mm-hmm. Don't beat yourself up if you're a handwritten guy like me and you're not doing the data entry into the CRM and vice versa. So just get in alignment with how you think and set your business up in that way.
Fantastic. Closing thoughts, sir. What else you got for us before we wrap up today's podcast?
Well, one thing is for those of you that are readers, and I do have many books on Amazon, but I'd love to get you my two most comprehensive books on sales. I can get those to you for free in a PDF. And so if you just send me an email, eric@ericoffholm.com, and reference this podcast and that you like my two books. I wrote arguably the most comprehensive sales scripting book ever called Sales Scripting Mastery. It's over 200 pages. I have another book on sales process called The System. So I'd love to get those to you for free. For those of you that are readers, just shoot me an email. And my number one sales tip is continuous improvement. So the fact that you're on this podcast right now listening, you're likely that kind of person that you're looking to continue to get better. And so I just want to continue to encourage you to plug into content that's going to make you better. You're one idea away from a breakthrough in your business.
Great final words. Eric, thank you so much for your wonderful energy and thought leadership today.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
So this was episode number 65 for the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, Mindset of a Sales Champion with Eric Laufholm. So for everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, this is Matt Haller, and I will see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.